Hope you're having a great afternoon. This has been really a very interesting conference, and I think I love following that session because it really showcases the power of data to transform businesses and create new businesses from what was potentially considered maybe a stagnant part of our industry, but rather now using new forms of digitalized data, new services, new revenues, new companies are being spawned from that, and that is a great example of what Microsoft is attempting to do with the digital transformation in our cloud products. So my name is Martin Wohl. I'm a principal program manager. I'm based up in our headquarters in Redmond, Washington, and I work in a part of our Azure cloud that's dedicated to your industry, to the media services industry. And I particularly wanted to take the time out today to talk to you a little bit about what Microsoft is doing around video artificial intelligence and services for the media industry to continue that transformation for all of your companies as well as what MoviePass is clearly succeeding in doing. Microsoft obviously has been in the business of providing collaborative and informational tools for your businesses for years. And with the shift to the cloud, we have built in Microsoft Azure a cloud platform that is one of the most trusted and powerful, capable platforms that are available today. But what you might not know, and it's time to take another look, is that since we have been so tremendously busy in the last 5 to 7 years of our cloud work, is how much focus we're giving to the media and entertainment industry specifically. And in particular, that the cloud has been used by your colleagues specifically to host and publish and stream media content. And we're doing so based on the audit and compliancy of organizations such as the CDSA and the MPAA and other organizations that are focused on digital content and the protection, privacy, I know that was a big issue in the last topic, and security of your content. So I wanted to make sure I mentioned that in my conversations. Microsoft has been providing to the media industry an entire platform's worth of media capabilities for years. And again, if you haven't taken a look at Microsoft lately, it might be time to woo you back and take a look. These are capabilities that have been available to you and your colleagues for years that allow you to build and digitally transform your part of the ecosystem, from hosting and storing your content in the cloud to encoding and transcoding it, editing, subclipping that content in the cloud. You might have heard that Avid recently announced that they have selected Microsoft and have moved all of the Avid products into the Microsoft Azure cloud. That was announced a year ago at the NAB show. A whole series of content protection to digitally encrypt and provide digital rights management against your content. Stream that content because no one downloads things anymore, so it's all about on-demand streaming, both for live content as well as produced content, and then a whole series of player client technology that you're all familiar with as consumers that allow you to play that content back on a variety of different devices. But what has kept me very busy in the last year has been the space in between, which is this new area that I want to talk about, which is called video artificial intelligence. And this is really about Microsoft has had the technology for a very long time that we have built into our products such as the Xbox, our Cortana Digital Assistant, Skype, Office, and Office 365, Bing, capabilities that we've built into our products that are now available for your use today. And part of my role in the organization at Microsoft is to talk to audiences and customers like yourselves about how can they use this technology in their day-to-day production workflows. And so I've collected kind of a wish list as I've been speaking a lot and traveling around the world. I've collected sort of a, imagine if I could do these things, many of which, as you read through this list, might look familiar to you because I heard earlier today from the folks from Netflix and also from Warner Brothers about these are tasks that are being manually done today. You possibly have staff or very large staff that is producing manual tagging, looking at faces, at words, at objects, at scenery, at making manual notes, and then sort of trying to figure out how to work that into the production workflow, into editing. Perhaps you're doing highlight reels of the day's work manually. Perhaps you are trying to share that content with your colleagues around the world manually. I'm still talking to a lot of studios that are shipping around DVDs unnecessarily. And so the ability to use the cloud and artificial intelligence within the cloud to help offset and offload those manual tasks is part of what Microsoft's media capabilities have been really focused on very very recently. Now, you may have heard us talk publicly about what we call Microsoft Cognitive Services. That is the collection of artificial intelligence capabilities that are running in the cloud that allow you to use the high processing and the neural networking of artificial intelligence and identify what only humans could identify in the past, whether it's vision or speech or language or knowledge or other capabilities. So we took these set of cognitive capabilities and applied it for your space, for video in particular. And we created a category called video AI. These 10 boxes that are on the screen, from speech to text, face detection, video object and character recognition, motion detection, and so on, these are available to you today. These are not pie in the sky pipe dreams. These are real services that you can already be used today. And many of your colleagues around the world are already using them by automating tasks that previously were being done manually. Now, what was interesting when we introduced this technology over a year ago is that people were applying that to their content sort of one at a time. I need a transcript of the content that I've shot or of the show that I've just produced or of a lecture that I just shot or made. And I would run that through a speech-to-text engine, get a transcript, and walk away. And the next day I realize, oh, I need to do the same for the faces, for the objects, for the scenery, for the items that were in that. And so I ran these one at a time. That's good, but it's not optimal for this industry, which really needs to build a library of data. And as I'm hearing all day, you never really know what data is going to be valuable tomorrow, so it's best that you get as much data as you can today, right? And if we've learned anything, that content is king, but data is possibly queen. And so for that perspective, we announced a year ago, and it has been almost a year, a brand new product dedicated to your industry that would take all of our AI capabilities, combine them together, and form a set of tools that you could run and get a huge database of metadata that describes everything in your content, from all of the words that are spoken, to the words that are shown, to the faces that are seen, to the ability to find brands that are called out in that content, sentiment analysis, et cetera, and so forth. And we introduced this a year ago, and in about 3 months' time, we're going to take it to the next set of levels by introducing even more capabilities, such as emotion sensing, identifying the emotion on faces, logos, and doing this against real-time streaming broadcast data to be able to do analytics in real time. Now, rather than me just describe it for you, I thought it would be good to show it to you. So here's what I'm going to show you. You take some video content and you upload it to the Microsoft Azure cloud, and then we perform an extraction. We extract all the metadata that we can possibly detect from that content. Then we give that data back to you. Now you can choose to curate it. You can customize it. Perhaps the video that you've given us is a series of sports content, or maybe it's content about science, like as we get from the Jet Propulsion Labs or from NASA. Or perhaps it's a story about the upcoming royal wedding as we're working with our colleagues in the UK. So there are names, there are terms, there are jargons, there are slangs. Certainly those of you in this industry know have a lot of three-letter acronyms. You curate the content, thus customizing it, creating your own model around that data, and then we correct the data, making it even more perfect. And then you can publish that content. You can publish that either internally for your own use to make your editors, your narrators, your reporters, your producers, your distributors more capable, or you leave it in the cloud and you form an entire library of metadata that is searchable and linkable right to the frame where that source content was found. Now again, I think I'll just show it to you rather than talk about it. So if the folks would switch, there we go. This is my screen, and I've gone ahead and created and uploaded a whole lot of content. Now, I only have a few minutes to show you this, but we have a monitor outside, so at the next break, you can go play with it yourself and see all the content that I'm showing you, and you can spend a little more time. But I've uploaded news content, entertainment content, content from QVC selling product, all kinds of different content. And I just want to show you what happens with one example. I was recently in Europe, and I presented at the European Broadcasting Union that has a forum just like this about smart content and metadata. And so this was one of the speakers that they shot, and I took the output of their video, and I send it into this tool, and now you can see the results. So on the left side is the raw data, the raw video feed from Kevin Anderson, who's a consultant in the media industry, who was speaking to the EBU at the time. And on the right side of the screen, you can see all of the faces that are in this video. Now, it's mostly just Kevin, as you can see by the black ticks that say he's showing up 56% of the time. But Kevin also has references in his deck, because he shows a lot of slides, to other faces. So it's even detected he makes reference to Jorge Ramos, who's a news anchor here in the US. And we can jump right to that face where Jorge Ramos appeared, both on the screen and also inside his slides, you can see. It also detected that he's speaking about a lot of keywords. It detected that there are objects on the screen that it recognizes. It even detected that he references in his presentation brands, copyrighted and trademarked services and brands that we all recognize. I can jump right to the part where he talks about Instagram. Instagram appears right at this point in the video, and we can just go jump to that point, and he'll find Instagram shown on the screen, as you can see. So even if he doesn't say the words, we found Instagram. And the ability to jump right to parts of your video, to be able to pull that out, to be able to tag it and use it, is exactly what this kind of capability is really all about. Of course, the real power comes, as many of you know who are in the business, if I want to be able to do search. Let's say I need to find a cup of coffee that might have shown up in one of my videos in my library, for whatever reason, I can find exactly where that cup of coffee might be hiding. You know, it might actually be discussed or talked about, or if I go farther enough here, this little A symbol means it was annotated. So that means there is an actual cup of coffee, and I can jump right to the coffee in the video, which happens to be at the 25th minute of this video, which I'm pulling up, and bam, there's my coffee. So, you know, the ability to be able to do this and find ways to do this in your workflow is very, very powerful, and that's what we're supporting. Now, if you wouldn't mind going back to my slides. Thank you. The video indexer that I'm showing you is using a collection of technology that we make available, as I said to you, at Microsoft. And right now, this technology is available for you for free. It's been free for almost a year, and it'll be continue to be free for a few more months while we've sort of been hammering out all the details and working out all the aspects to make it work for a commercial service. So right now, I invite you to use it, and you can even embed what I just showed you inside your own websites. We have many customers who have taken what I've just shown you, and rather than recreate the wheel, they've just taken and embedded the search and the video player and the widgets that I've shown you right into their own websites. And they're doing very interesting things with it. So I'm working with customers who, for example, have created customized news services where their subscribers want to register in advance for certain topics that might appear in the news. So anytime we see, you know, a volleyball or some celebrity, I want not just to be notified via text or on Twitter, I want a video of it, a link to play that video sent right to me. Again, that might not be for external use. This might not be a business for consumers. This might be something inside your own organization, right? So you can build these workflows to do automated identification of the content as it passes through your production workflow. We have customers that are using it to filter through user-generated content that are being uploaded to websites looking for nudity, looking for profanity. We have customers that are distributing videos out to different partners based on what's in the content. It has to be this, if it's this subject, it goes to this partner, this distribution house. If it's in this language, send it to this particular distribution zone. Or translate it to different languages automatically as it passes through my capability, which is what another one of our several partners and customers are doing, creating automated transcripts. As the transcript comes in, translate it into 55 different languages, send it out, and republish. I do want to share, lastly, what maybe one of the most relevant examples I can give you is your colleagues in Europe that produced the very hit show Big Brother. And, of course, this reality TV show is done on a regular weekly basis with people living in a house, and there's cameras all over the house. And you can just imagine what it's like in the life of an editor of Big Brother, right? because you have to build the most exciting, compelling, emotionally ripping show. But how do you know what all the shots are? How do you know for that moment you're looking for? Well, Big Brother is using the technology that I've just shown you to capture and automatically tag everything from all their camera angles, all coming into their archives, creating a set of searchable objects, emotions, names, faces, places, so they can build and edit that show much, much faster than they ever were before. I even stole their architectural slide for you to just show you that the way they're doing this is sending us the output of the 8 cameras that they film in the house in real time. So it's not being canned and then sent. It's being sent to us as it's being shot. That allows the directors and the editors and the post folks to be able to have instant access to exactly what's being taped as it's happening. And I cannot share with you how many times the folks from Endemol, who of course is the production studio that does Big Brother, has told us how much time and cost we are saving them by giving them this ability. We're not necessarily making their shows that much more exciting, because only the creative side can do that, but we are giving them the ability to focus on that creative element more and the manual process less. And that's precisely what this technology is really intended to do. So with that, I'm going to close, and we're going to have, a panel here. But I wanted to share with you that this technology is, A, available now at videoindexer.ai. 2, it's out in the foray out there in the cold, so you can get a demo for yourself. And then lastly, invite you to bring whatever you are looking to automate of your production workflows and find a way to use this technology, because I assure you that this is exactly the kind of thing that's going to help you focus on the creative aspect and less on things that computer and the cloud can do for you. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. And if you'll take a seat, and if the rest of the panelists will approach the stage.